This episode of Two Pros Know is brought to you by Brad Carey with Realty Executives Premier, Gamer Gloves, and Head Nod Squad. Check out the guys that support us, and I appreciate it. Hello and welcome to the 21st episode of, Jesus Christ, 21 episodes. 21 episodes of Two Pros Knows. We have Ken Shamrock, UFC veteran and just all-around pioneer of MMA, president and CEO of Shamrock FC, Jesse Finney, as well as my two good friends, Drew and Grande and Mop Jitsu. We just discussed the upcoming Shamrock FC card 286, as well as the Invicta FC card on March 24th. I think it's just all-around good fun, guys. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy just a bunch of schmoes talking shit. Hello and welcome to a very special episode of, I don't know, it's like three, four pros and a legend, no? Jesse Finney, Ken Shamrock, Drew and Grande, Mop Jitsu. I got like just a plethora today and I cannot wait. First things first, Ken and Jesse, I appreciate you guys. I know that it's like a very busy day with weigh-ins and the media and all the obligations that you guys have as the president and Ken obviously coming down and oh no, did we lose them?
No!
Thank God!
We're back!
And Ken coming down
like
and helping
shit. Like a bad rash. It won't go away.
Oh God. So first things first, gentlemen, Ken, I know that your son was supposed to compete tomorrow night. First things first, you know, what is it like for you to kind of grow up in the sport and really just pioneer it, and then to see your son kind of flourish and come out on his own in the very same sport that you came out in?
Well, I mean, I could almost say the same thing I feel about the sport itself. I'm almost the father and grandfather of this sport, watching it grow, watching fighters grow, and being very proud to be a part of that, along with my son, who's also now starting. He took an nine-year layoff because he got into a relationship. He wanted to raise his kid. And so now he wants to come back and fight again. So it's awesome to still be around and still watching the fighters fight and then still have my kid really wanting to push forward and be able to make a name for himself in the sport.
Fantastic. And I know that we're a little upset that he didn't get to compete. Unfortunately, injury is a part of the sport. So hopefully one day Jesse and you guys can link back up and get Ryan on a show. I know that I'd be dying to watch, and I know countless others would as well. Jesse, just talk to us a little bit about just forming this card, because I'll be honest with you, man. I fought for you before, and I always say that the cards are stacked, but I got to be really honest with you. I am super impressed between the main event to, like, the beginning fights of the undercard. This card is stacked.
Now we're doing both. We're getting harassed over here. All right? They think we're doing selfies.
Hey, it's a cute couple.
Right. So yeah, but listen, I'm the man in the relationship. Hey, get out! Look out for his right hand. Get out of there. So, hey, let me say this first and foremost. Ryan got hurt, right? So. You know, I didn't know what to expect. Kid's business partner called me and said, hey, Ryan's hurt. He can't compete. But, hey, we, no matter what, we're coming. We want to come. So I think that says something about their character and the type of people that we're dealing with here, too. So I wanted to say that. Second, yes, it's a stacked card. I appreciate it. I think that if you look at top to bottom, it's probably the best card we've ever put on. With 15 fights, we got a female fight, we got one kickboxing match on there, but you look at the main event and you look at what's in it right there. You've got Aaron Heidfeld and Jake Lindsey, two guys that I know I would pay my money to watch, because these guys are gonna come banging. You know, Aaron Heidfeld, yes, he's got four fights. He's fighting a three-time UFC vet, guy that's beat some local guys around here, so he's a stud. But hey, listen, that's what I believe in this kid. This kid is gonna. He can scrap, man. He can hang with anybody out there in the 170 division. And obviously the winner is going to get the winner of Zach Busia and Bobby Volker. So, and obviously that's for a $100,000 contract in the Bellator. So, hey, the winner gets that. So let's see how this all shakes out.
Man, that is an absolute just powerhouse. Four incredible fighters. I can't wait to see not only the fight, but to see who comes out on top. And then to see, you know, Zach Butia versus Bobby Volker. And then the winner of that facing each other, Jesse. I'm beyond ecstatic about that, man. Thank you. Moving on a little bit on the card, I know that Adam Sella is a homegrown boy of yours, so to speak, and he's going up against Colton Cole. Adam Sella and Colton Cole just kind of getting over some rough patches in both of their careers, both guys coming out hungry for a win. Neither one, in my opinion, I've never seen either Adam Sella or Colton Cole in a boring fight. I mean, I know we don't like to bet or, you know, try to do MMA math too much, but what do you think of that fight specifically, the co-main event?
Well, I think that styles make fights, right? So styles make fights. The only way this fight is not end up fight of the night is if Colton Cole can lay on Adam Sella for three rounds. I mean, that's the only way that I think that it could be a bad fight. I don't think that either one of them are going to submit each other early. They both like to stand and bang. If Cole comes in and tries to take him down, then you know what? Then it could be a bad fight for Sella if he cannot defend the takedown. I know Adam Sella's worked. I mean, that's what Sella's been working on, his takedown defense. Adam hits hard. Look at my crooked nose. It's from him. That was from like four or five years ago. So I think it's going to be a great fight. I think that has fight of the night all over it as well. I mean, you know, and then you go to the undercard, guys. Let's talk about Chris Craig and
Corbin Howard.
Howard. I mean, those are great fights. I mean, Purnell and Scott. I mean, come on. I mean, it's all good fights. So. Hey, I'm just looking forward to it. Then I get to go see Ashley watch Ashley kick some butt up there and Invicta.
Absolutely.
Hey, dude, did you fix your hair for this?
Oh, yeah.
He looks pretty.
Looks good.
So three professional contracts are on the line, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Correct. There's three pro fight contracts on there. So I think that Kevin Mueller is a kid that came out of nowhere here recently, and they're all good fights, man. I mean, look, we could go fight by fight. I was just telling Ken, I said, look, you could, 13 out of 15 of these fights, I think, could go either which way. So,
absolutely.
You know, I'm honored to have him in town and his business partner, Dez, to be able to see such a great fight card, and I'm really looking forward to it tomorrow night.
And our last question of the night, boys, I know you guys got to get going and do your own thing, and I appreciate the time that you guys are spending with me and my friends. So, have you guys gotten to get any rounds in? Did you guys get to train it all together? And Ken, how
yes,
bad
did we did, just... actually. We just got done sitting down, and we went three rounds with the steak.
It was wonderful. And there was a winner, and it was our belly.
Absolutely, guys. I appreciate you guys coming in and spending the time. If you haven't already bought tickets, I believe it's sold out. Do we still have standing room?
We have 48 standing room only tickets left, and that's it.
And then, obviously, the pay-per-view they can buy, I believe, for $13 online tomorrow, guys. It's a fantastic card. There's really no excuse not to watch it. I can't wait for it, personally. I'll be backstage doing the post-fight interviews. Ken, maybe I'll get to meet you in person. That'll be fantastic. Jesse, Ken Shamrock, I appreciate the time, guys. I thank you immensely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
guys.
Thank you,
guys. Have a good one.
Boys. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks, Jesse.
Fantastic. You know what's funny about Ken Shamrock? He's actually a pretty down-to-earth dude. Like, if you ever talk to him, he's just like, hey, what's up, guy? Like, he'll shoot the shit with you like he's known you for years.
The viewers missed the hilarious joke that he made, too.
Yeah, that was pretty good. He sees a Gracie shirt and goes, hey, my ball should be on that.
That wasn't planned. I didn't know I was going to do this. You know, it was like 10 minutes ago. If I knew Ken Shamrock was going to be on, I wouldn't have fucking worn a Gracie shirt. That's for sure.
So, obviously, Mop and Drew are both in Kansas City right now. Ashley Cummins is getting ready for her kind of Invicta return / debut at 105. Right off the bat, I mean, how'd the weigh-in go? Because I know that we were talking a little bit today, and this was like not the weigh-ins. I'm saying, like, how is her weight going? You guys said, like, the cut was, like, incredibly easy for her. She's already down to some of the lowest weight she's been.
One soak. One.
Really?
One hot water bath.
What did she wake up?
She had some mist in the morning a little bit and lost a couple there, but one hot water bath and she was on weight.
Wow. So she gets to, like, eat and drink tonight?
No, I mean, she's like right there.
I see, like 107.
Well, the weigh-ins are the weigh-ins are early tomorrow. They're not at nighttime. They're like 10 o'clock, and then they have some ceremonial ones. So, yeah, and then we went on a little walk, so it's been good.
Absolutely. So not to, you know, beat around the bush too much, obviously we'll talk about Invicta and the card that they got, but I also want to kind of harp back to Shamrock FC, seeing as it's going to be Friday and the Invicta Saturday, right? So right off the bat, I just kind of want to get, like, both of your takes on the Aaron Heifel, Jake Lindsay, a fight that was actually supposed to be Aaron Heifel versus Chris. Chris got injured. I believe he got two hernias on top of one another, and I saw a picture of it, and it looked nasty. So, you know, hopefully the best recovery for Chris Heatherly. Hopefully, like, the surgery and everything goes smooth. It's never fun, so... But, you know, the sport is its own beast, and Jake Lindsay stepped up to take on Aaron Heifel. And I personally think, no disrespect to Chris Heatherly, but styles do make fights. And I feel like the runner-up, or Jake Lindsay, the one who's replacing Heatherly, would make for an even better fight than Heifel-Heatherly. I don't really know who would win. I think it's very well contested. I could see either guy knocking out either guy. Both are very heavy-handed. Both solid wrestling. I don't know about that one, man. It could go either way.
Both those guys have big, big power. So I think in this fight it's going to be who makes the first mistake. Both these guys have touch of death power. So, I mean, whoever screws up first I think is going to get caught. I think Heifel does have the option to take Lindsay down. Lindsay had some issues with takedown defense in the UFC, so Heifel could definitely look to expose that, but Heifel's not that type of dude. Unless he gets cracked, he's not going for takedown. So I'm excited for that fight. It's going to be a good one.
I'm going to be incredibly biased and say Aaron Heifel just because he's my boy.
Hey, Mop, you have that fact. So real quick, moving on to the co-main, because honestly, we didn't do the whole card justice when we talked with Jesse. I mean, really, Chris Craig, Corbett Howard, Kevin Buehler, Trayvon Crawford, Elmar Umarov versus Nathan Stearns. That's a sleeper fight. No one's talking about that one, but I remember when Nathan fought at Horizon. Yes, against Lisboa. Oh my God, what a... That was a phenomenal fight. Display of jiu-jitsu, striking, everything. I think that Elmir brings a certain ferocity with him. I know that he just came off like a really quick knockout in his last performance, and I know he's hungry. I've seen his Facebook posts. He's always talking about like how he's ready and how he's training. I will say this. Elmir was over by 0.4 at weigh-ins. I'm not sure if that was like just a miscalculation on his end, because usually, you know, if it's like 0.1 to 0.3, that's kind of easy to do in terms of like, you know, like Mop was saying, like half, you know, 5-6 minutes in a hot water bath, you're good. So maybe they just kind of didn't calculate
that.
That
is a big 55er. That is a big 155er.
Nathan's probably, not small either.
Yeah, Nathan's been putting on a lot of weight. I think he got up to 200 for some reason over like winter break for him, like over the Christmas season. He like was like, yeah, he's not in school, whatever. Yeah, but I saw his Facebook, and he was like up to like 190, 198 or something like that. And that dude's been putting up some serious weight on his Facebook page. That's a good one. I've actually done some training with Elmar down at the Hit Squad, and that dude's got some really technical striking and some really good takedown defense. So that's definitely one of the more exciting ones going on tomorrow.
Absolutely. Also, like further on in the card, you got Izzy Robinson versus Olivia Fisher. I'm not really going to lie to you. I don't know who Olivia Fisher is. I do know Izzy Robinson. I've trained with her, and I've seen her fight multiple times. It's always nice whenever you get to see a little bit of female MMA in a very male-stacked card. And I think Izzy always brings it. She's always exciting. Never leaves anything in the cage. I don't know enough about Olivia to speak, you know, intelligently, but I will say that I'm a fan of Izzy Robinson, and I'm very excited to watch her fight, regardless of who the opponent is.
Yeah, Izzy is one of those girls, man. She she's so incredibly powerful, and she's such a good athlete. Not taking anything away from her technical skills, she has very good technique, but her athleticism and strength for a female 125er is ridiculous. And and she's been working a lot with Rob Washington and Luigi, I believe, and it's really sharpened her sword, man. She's looking really good. I've got the opportunity to watch her train recently. She looks great.
Absolutely, and I actually had the opportunity to spar with her, and she's very crisp, very quick, and surprisingly strong. You were right, Drew. A lot of power behind her. Moving on to the co-main of like the preliminary card, Isaac Purnell versus Derek Scott. This is actually like a rematch. They fought before, and I believe Derek lost. It was either a split or unanimous decision. I think it was a split, wasn't it?
I believe it was a split.
And they're fighting now for a title and a Shamrock FC Pro contract. I'm kind of, you know, whenever you have a really close fight like that, you always want to. You're curious as how the guys would run it back, right? Like, would Isaac Purnell do anything different because he won? Would Derek Scott obviously would look at the holes and see what he did wrong? I'm really curious and excited to see how those guys come at one another again, having had 9 minutes in the cage with one another.
Yeah, rematches are always kind of tricky. And the reason I say that is because it's who's going to make adjustments and who's overthinking the adjustments that their opponent's trying to make. I mean, you got to go back to the well and use what got you there, but you have to know that your opponent is training to counter that. So it's a chess match. Rounds 6 through 9 coming at you. It's going to be about who makes the proper adjustments and who really put in the study time on their opponent.
Absolutely. I don't know who's going to win that as well. You know, a lot of these fights, and Jesse hit the nail on the head, are like 50-50. You could do a coin toss and you got about the same chances as guessing who's going to win some of these fights. Kevin Mueller versus Trayvon Crawford. Kevin's actually kind of just like jumped onto the scene versus Trayvon Crawford, who's kind of been an amateur for a while now. I remember that he was actually my very first amateur fight, and I wasn't his. Like, he's been amateur now for going on 7 years. The dude is definitely due for an opportunity to make it into the pro ranks and fight for Shamrock FC, obviously. Probably one of the hardest hitting 145ers I've seen. He's put some people out. And he used to be known as just like a brawler, just a striker, and I know that he's been training with Mark McLean and really trying to grasp the whole essence of MMA and become, you know, competent on the ground with the wrestling, you know, grappling, not just brawling, but, you know, really choosing his strikes effectively. I'm very excited to see how Trayvon kind of comes at Kevin and to see how Kevin reacts.
Yeah, Trey's been training a lot with Coach Howell, a pretty awesome wrestling coach out in the city, and the dude knows his wrestling, and Trey's been training with him for a couple of years now, and it's really shown the fruits of that. He's really wrestling well. He beat a very tough guy at Gateway Fighting Series in the last GFS show. Bertram was his name, last name. And that was a tough fight for Trey, and Trey controlled the fight with takedowns. He didn't even really stand with the guy, so he's really showing that he's evolving as a martial artist. And with Mark McLean out there, you know, he's going to have clean striking, good head movement, things like that. So I'm looking forward to that one as well, see what Trey can do and see what he can do at the pro level if he wins this one.
Yeah. One of the fights that I'm most excited for and have been, usually, you know, the lighter weight classes, we get a lot of flack for not finishing fights or maybe being, you know, not as heavy-handed as some of the heavier weight classes. But I'll tell you what, man, for a 125 fight, Chris Craig versus Corbin Howard is amazing. I think both guys have the skills to beat one another in fascinating fact. I can see Chris knocking Corbin Howard out, and I can see Corbin getting a slick submission on Chris in like a scramble or an exchange. I think that's one of those fights where you don't want to blink because the guys are so small and they're so fast and they're so fluid and they're so technical that anything can happen at any moment, and that's very exciting for me as a fan and as a fighter.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty excited for that one too. We got the pleasure of having Chris come out and train with us one day, and what an awesome dude, you know. So,
yeah, he is a cool guy.
And I've seen Corbin around him. We've talked to him a few times. I like his personality too. That kid's cocky. I love it. Reminds me of a much smaller you, but yeah, that's the fight right there that I'm probably, with the exception of the main event, probably the most excited for, because I think the winner of that is the clear number one 125er around the St. Louis area.
At the amateur level, absolutely. I actually had the pleasure of training with both men, Corbin Howard at St. Charles MMA a couple years back, and Chris Craig relatively recently. I will say that Chris was, and this is going off, I haven't rolled or sparred with Corbin about 2 years now, so, you know, take it for what it's worth. But I just recall that Corbin's a little bit more fluid, a little bit quicker on his feet, and a little bit more unorthodox with the striking. But definitely Chris has, like, the strength advantage. When me and Chris would roll, it was definitely like rolling like with like a little ox or something. Like, Chris has a lot of strength to that frame. So I'm very curious to see how the styles will match up against one another, whether Corbin wants to kind of stay elusive or does he want to get into the exchange on the ground, and how Chris kind of battles the jiu-jitsu. Does he try to just strength through it? Does he use his technique? I'm very excited for that fight. I do not see that going the distance. I see maybe like a first or second round finish for either man. Moving on to the pro portion of the card, you got Brandon Lowe versus Austin Midkiff. Austin was the 145 pound champion after I vacated the belt, and he actually won it in a like a two fight one night kind of pre, and it was actually pretty entertaining to watch. And Austin went in there and finished both of his opponents in pretty devastating fashion. And Brandon Lowe, obviously, you know, he was the fight hard 145 pound champion before he went pro. Has gone up against, you know, Rashard Lovelace, Montel Prater. Brandon is a gritty fighter, likes to throw hard. He's decent on the ground, decent on the feet. And Austin Midkiff has got that scary guillotine that he just seems to sink in on so many fighters. We haven't really gotten to see too much of his stand-up, so I'm curious to see if this stays standing for longer than like a minute or two. But if it goes to the ground, I'm also curious to see how Brandon Lowe starts to fend off some of the submission attempts by Austin.
I'm curious to see how Midkiff does with those five-minute rounds. You know, like anyone does, that's a whole different world. So we'll see if it goes in the deep water, if it goes past that four-minute mark, how Midkiff responds, because that dude's also a pretty big 45er. He probably cuts quite a bit of weight. So
he's extremely tall. He's little,
really tall.
I will say this. I had Rashard Lovelace was at the weigh-ins, and he kind of told me, like, you know, what was going on. Apparently, both of those guys, the fight was supposed to be at 145. They agreed to 152, and Austin came in at 159, apparently.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so, that makes it really interesting to see how those five-minute rounds are going to be then.
That
yeah,
makes me interested in the sense that that makes me think one thing and one thing only. Like, dude, how are you that overweight? Like, are you not training? Did something happen? Are you injured? Yeah,
he's
but
put on
weight,
a lot of size.
Okay, but like, weight is not also, you know, listen, we're not a strongman competition. If it was the biggest muscles would win, then I wouldn't be where I was as an amateur at 135. You know, it's also about the skill and technique and everything and putting that together. And mass doesn't always equate to faster motions. You might be more explosive in the first 30 seconds, but like Drew said, five-minute rounds is a different ball game. And when you're carrying that extra mass and you're not used to it, you better be careful. I could see him gassing early, and I could see Brandon Lowe, you know, just taking him to those deep waters and drowning him. On the flip side, Brandon's been susceptible to highly explosive strikers like Rashard, so maybe Austin was looking to kind of, you know what I mean, piggyback off that performance and kind of mimic the process and come at Brandon strong in the first round. Time will tell. I don't like that he came in at 159. I'll be honest with you, that scares me. In a lot of
ways. Lack of discipline. Shows lack of discipline.
Exactly.
You're not disciplined enough to make weight. Yeah. You're not disciplined enough to make weight. What does it say about the rest of your training? Were you putting in the time that you needed every day? Because if you can't keep track of something, you have two jobs: make weight and fight. That's it. As a pro, that's what you make weight and you fight. And you fail at job number one, you know, and usually that leads to a failure at job number two. But we'll see.
And should he be fighting at 155? I mean, 145. I mean, if you look at Austin, like, from, like, a year ago to now, he's put on a lot of weight in terms of muscle mass. Like, I remember...
He's still growing. He's a young guy.
He's a young guy. So maybe he's grown into a different weight class. Maybe he should move up to 55, because he's, like, I don't know, like 6'1", 6'2". He's a tall guy, and if he starts putting on muscle, then it's going to be harder and harder to get down to 55. I mean, 45. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. That I'm interested just to be backstage for that one, to be honest with you. I kind of want to ask Austin, like, what happened. Lee Burns versus Mike Wassum. I'll be honest with you. I love Mike Wassum as a person, and I love Lee Burns as a fan. That dude always brings it and is always in an entertaining fight. His fight against Byron Stevens was probably one of the best fights I've ever seen in my life, and unfortunately that was the fight after the main card at Bellator, and not that many people got to see it. But man, I remember me and Drew, I was like screaming my head off because those guys were just knocking each other in the next Tuesday. And you know, we've trained with Mike. He's a very technical guy, solid stand-up in his own respect, great wrestling, great jiu-jitsu. I'm curious to see how Lee Burns tackles that puzzle, whether he wants to be technical or whether he just wants to put leather on Mike Wasserman and cave him in. It's heavier guy, so it only takes one.
Yeah. So... Mike is a samurai, number one. Like, I have never met a more interesting individual in my time training. Like, that dude will literally wander around from gym to gym. Like, a lot of people think he's with us, you know, at the Wolves Den, because that's where he trained for his Fight Hard fight for. But, I mean, the guy before that fight was somewhere else, and then with us, and then somewhere else. So the guy travels around. He is literally a wandering samurai. And if you ever talk to him, you'll get that feel from him. Unfortunately, he ran into a freight train his last fight. Like, as we can see from Kyle Noblet, like, that he just has been skyrocketing. Tearing He's like it. A man right now. Yeah. So I don't think it was a good first fight for Mike, but Mike is a lot better than he's shown. If you look at his amateur career, the guy is extremely athletic, has very solid jiu-jitsu, both top and bottom, and has a lot of power. So I think that if the fight remains more technical, then Mike's going to get the victory. But if Lee Burns makes it more of a dog fight, a pressure fight, an ugly fight, then that's where he's going to find more success. But I'm biased, so.
No, I agree with you.
I agree 100%. I really do. I love Lee Burns. He's a cool guy. He's an awesome fighter, but he's not the most technical. And if you ask him, he'll probably say the same thing. Yeah. I'm sure. His striking is technical in the sense that he picks his shots well, but I mean, I'm sure if you take him to the ground, he won't feel as comfortable, you know, on his back as he does on with his feet. So, moving on to the feature fight of the night, it was supposed to be Court Wall versus Ryan Shamrock. Unfortunately, Ryan got injured, and Raul Romero stepped in to replace him. Raul actually just came off of a win against Stephen Graham, and
Stephen Graham's a good fighter.
And Stephen Graham is a very good fighter, solid. I believe he's a blue or purple belt in jiu-jitsu, but he had a very decorated amateur career. I was actually – there was talks when I was still amateur about fighting him, so when Stephen Graham's name got brought up, I kind of did a head turn, you know. Raul, 1-2, Court, 1-2, both guys trying to, you know, get back to that neutral status at least. Court, unfortunately, coming off of a loss, and Raul actually coming off of a win. So I'm very curious. Both guys like to stand and bang. I say this all about like all the fights. I feel like I could see either man winning this. Raul is tough, gritty. Court is delicious. So I'm
very handsome. Court, very handsome.
I'm a very biased man. He's also got one of like the best dogs I've ever seen in my life. But you know, I'm gonna go out and say, yeah, I'm biased. I hope that Court wins, and when I'm backstage, I'm gonna be shooting the shit with him. I don't really know Raul, but you know, good luck to him. They're in my weight class, so I'm always watching. But Court's a buddy of mine, so I always want to see my friend succeed. I don't know if you guys know much about Raul. I know you guys know Court. What do you think about that fight?
I know Stephen Graham is a good fighter, so if he beat him, he's probably legit. You know, anything can happen. But I think Court Wall is going to come into this fight more mentally prepared than he has been. He actually has some direction, has some coaching. Now he's been training out with Josh McKinney out at Head Nod, and I mean, I think Court's jiu-jitsu was already good, but I think training with those guys has just really sharpened his tools and kind of given some mentorship and some direction. And you know, he gets to get rounds in with Jordan Dowdy and those guys out there. So I think Court's going to come into this fight more mentally prepared, and I think that's always the difference with him, is where's Court's mind at. And I think his mind is right for this fight, so I'm really looking forward to see what a strong-minded Court Wall can do.
Absolutely. Someone who's dedicated to the sport. And I'll tell you what, Jordan Dowdy talked to me. He said that going down to Head Nod Squad and working with Josh and working with Adam, that it's really kind of changed his perspective on jiu-jitsu. Not to say that working with Mop didn't do it, but, you know, the way Jordan talks about those guys, the way he talks about the gym and how they kind of conduct themselves, I sense that he kind of has this love for jiu-jitsu, and he has a love for coming down there, and it's a great environment for him. So for Jordan to really appreciate it. I'm sure Court, being engrossed in it, also feels very similar. And as fighters, like, we kind of know this, but when you're in there day in and day out and you're doing that grind and you're kind of hating life and you're cutting weight and you feel miserable, sometimes that direction and that warm sense of sanctuary, it's needed, man. And you're right, Drew. Like, the last couple of fights, Court hasn't been himself, and I'm really excited to see him with direction and poise going into this fight. Not to take away from Raul. He's a really tough he's really gritty, like that Mexican boxing style, man. He's really tough, just throws nonstop and isn't afraid to stand in the pocket and trade with anyone. So I'm very excited to.
What? So why has he got to be Mexican, bro?
He does. He's Mexican. He's got a Mexican. Listen, that, I'm Albanian. If you ask me how I fight, I say it's Albanian style.
You don't know if he's Mexican.
I fight mob style.
So that's the majority of the card. I try to give everyone a little bit of love. I'm personally going to enjoy the crap out of it tomorrow while you guys are out there doing weigh-ins at Invicta. I know we talked a little
bit
about
it. We're going to buy it and watch it.
Yeah, we're going to watch it.
We're going to buy it and watch it.
So. For $13? You can't beat that. For $13, yep. You can't beat that. So you guys are down in KC right now. Obviously, Mop is the head coach and trainer at the Wolves Den. We've actually had him on the show before. And Drew's kind of the guy behind the scenes. He's the manager of a lot of fighters slash yells at all of us. having Ashley in the gym, in my respect, has really kind of like really increased our game, because we've kind of seen what it's like to have someone at a really high level come in, and we really get engrossed and committed to them, because we see the kind of drive they have. I think, Drew, you said it personally the best, that Ashley does everything right. She puts in the time. She trains on her own time. She puts in the cardio, the strength and conditioning. She comes into practice and learns, and she always gives 100%. And to see her fighting Miss Brown, who just came off of a loss at 115, but at one point was the champion, I mean, it's exciting to watch, man, and it's exciting to see her grow in the sport and finally hit a weight class that she should have been at 105 the whole time. And we're actually going to have her on the show, win, lose, or draw, next week, so I can't wait to just talk to her about – she's been in the sport for 10 years. And Invicta, for the longest time, the way she was talking to me was like, when she was coming up, there was no Invicta. You know, these girls didn't have an outlet to fight in. And now when you look at Invicta, it's like the feeder to the UFC. The UFC never even had a women's division. So it's just really exciting to see, like, her perspective, her outlook, and her growth in the sport. But more importantly, it's really exciting to see her fight Saturday night at the arena down there in KC. What's the arena name, though?
It's the Scottish Rite Temple. It's right by St. Luke's Hospital in South Kansas City. But, yeah, I have to agree with you, man. There is no one – I've not met a fighter yet who works harder than Ashley Cummins.
Really?
There's fighters that do it full-time. Get out of here. There's fighters that do it full-time that still don't put in the hours that she puts in, and she has a full-time job. So it's freaking insane. But, yeah, we're out here in Kansas City, and we have a crazy story that happened.
Oh, my God. It was terrible.
So you want to hear something crazy? Okay, so I booked an Airbnb, a house. It was supposed to be really cool, you know. We're going to have our own rooms. And so me and Mop pull out to this house, and it's kind of in the ghetto. Like, it's really in the ghetto. It's like a rough neighborhood. So we drive by the house, and there's a literal bum out in front of the house that we're supposed to be staying at. And he's got, like, a bike and, like, a shopping cart and stuff. And so we, like, pull around to the back of the house. And Mop, you want to take it from here?
Yeah, well, first
of all,
you guys
invited him in, and he stayed with you?
No. We didn't even make it into the house, okay? Like, first of all, the driveway was not a driveway. It was a ditch and then some, like, mowed area with no grass on it. And, like, my car got all, like, it was almost impossible to get into the parking lot. And then when we got there, we were chilling there, and I'm already sketched out because I'm scared, okay? I live in my little suburban neighborhood, and I don't really venture out anywhere else, okay? I'm a total noob. And at least Drew had his gun, so, like, I was a little less worried. But all of a sudden we hear gunshots, and, like, it's not, like, gunshots in the distance. It's, like, gunshots, like, right by us. and we see like cars stopping in front of the street that we're at.
Okay, so these gunshots were right in front of the house. We were
right
about,
in front of that.
We were about 50 yards from the gunfire, but we were on the side of the house, and all of a sudden we see all the hood coming out to see what was going on. Cars were stopping in the middle of the street.
The bum ran away.
And so that's the first time in my life I've ever had to draw my gun and chamber around, because a bunch of people were coming out, and I'm pretty sure all of them had guns. I've seen hands in pockets, and so it was insane. So I asked Mop, I was like, dude, you want to stay here? He was like, no. I was like, I don't either.
Are you kidding me? You missed a great opportunity to hand out Wolf's Den cards and say, hey, if you're trying to defend yourself, come down to Wentzville. That's a great marketing ploy. In the heat of the moment, you missed your chance, Mop.
We did, but we got the hell out of there, and now we have this awesome like loft apartment in like a super nice neighborhood.
Oh yeah, we're safe now.
Yeah, we're nice and safe. But that was definitely sketchy.
There's a contemporary art museum across the street. That's how nice it is.
Yeah, contemporary art.
And contemporary art stuff, by the way.
Look at you.
We went in there.
Contemporary art is terrible. Contemporary art is terrible. It's like a dot on a piece of paper, and it's like, and there's like a story written next to it, and it's like, oh, this dot represents all the loneliness in my life, and it's like, yeah, Mop says it's like art that you do on drugs. Mop is a contemporary martial artist.
Okay. We saw inside of a square, and I was like, I could have done that.
Yeah, right? Just keep in mind that going on, we're also doing like a Q&A. If anyone has any questions, I'm going to be throwing a spitfire at you guys and myself. Brian Hickenbottom says, is the court wall fight a title fight? Was it ever a title fight?
I know it was on a poster. I know it was on a poster as a title fight against Shamrock. I think that was kind of like a marketing thing they did, where like, yeah, it would have been a title fight, but you know, after Court won it, it probably wouldn't have been a real title. But that's what it was marketed as on one poster that I saw. When I asked Court about it, he said he didn't know. So,
are you sure? Maybe it was just like, it could have just been a typo. Like, you know, like a lot of times when they do it, they just have like a template, and maybe it was supposed to say feature fight or co-main, because they have three title fights on the undercard. Maybe. I'll be honest with you. I never even knew that it was a title fight. I never saw that. Craig Nacella was asking us if we're going to be there. Obviously, you two are already there. And yes, Craig, I will be there. I'm doing post-fight interviews for Knuckle Junkies Friday at Shamrock. And then I will be driving out to KC like right after that. I'll probably be there in the morning with you guys. So if you guys want to text me the address of that house in the contemporary neighborhood, I'd be more than happy to crash on the couch.
Another story real quick.
I wore a white belt today. It was funny.
We took Mop to a jiu-jitsu school, and he wore a white belt. And the only person
that...
It was the funniest, but we were going to go in there and like play a prank. But as soon as we walk in the door, the head instructor there recognized Mop right away. And he was like, oh, Mop, what's up, man? I haven't seen you in like 5 years. But we still wore a white belt and kind of tricked his students. They didn't know to the end that he was a black belt, so it was pretty damn funny.
Were you just blowing their minds?
It was funny.
Yeah, it was.
That's
kind
of cruel, man. Did any of the blue belts come up to you and like, all right, I'll go easy on you, buddy?
Actually, there's a mostly white belt school, but I mean, they have solid.
It's a newer school, yeah.
Solid jiu-jitsu, though, man. They got really, really good instruction.
Yeah. What is it? Body fit.
Body fit or fit body?
It's body fit.
Main Street in downtown KC. Shout out to those guys for letting us come train for free.
Yeah, Favai hooked me up there.
Yeah, the head instructor out there, his name is Favai. He's a really cool dude. And Mop trained with him about 5 years ago. Really, really.
Do they have class on Saturday?
Yeah, the Saturday morning at 9.
Yeah. It's in the gi area.
I can't roll, guys. Sorry. I'd love to bring my pajamas, but I'm packing light. Craig Nacella, by the way, says, Drew, call me. So after this, you should probably call him. Michael DeSanta says, other than Cummins Brown, what fights are you looking forward to this Saturday? I can't wait for the event. I think Tanya Evinger fighting is always exciting, personally.
Yeah, I mean, Tanya's fight is going to be interesting. It's another rematch. She kind of got screwed in her last fight.
She got screwed out of that last fight, yeah.
She did a legal technique, and it got overturned, so she still maintained the belt. But, yeah, that'll be a good fight. But anyone who's watched Tanya's fighting style, it's not the most exciting. She takes girls down, kind of lays on them, controls them. But she's tough. She's very good. I'm really excited for Jody Escobo. And you know how good Jody is because we saw her get screwed on Tough.
Yeah, and, she should have won that fight.
She throws bombs and she can wrestle her ass off. So
unfortunately, though, her outing with Alexa Grasso was not the outcome she wanted. And that was probably the bloodiest fight I think I've ever seen. She lit her up early, and that nose was like a faucet for the rest of the fight.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. And then, of course, Ashley's fight. But, yeah, Jody Escobo, she's always fucking exciting to watch.
And you got Hamasaki moving up to 115. She's the 105-pound Invicta champion right now. So that should be a pretty exciting one. I can't remember the girl she's fighting.
Is she staying at 115? What's the story with that?
I think she's trying to get into the UFC. So she's bumping up to 115. Yeah. She's going to see how she goes at 15 to see if she can get into the UFC.
So does she vacate the belt, or how does that work?
She has not vacated yet, so I think they're doing this as like a test run to see if she can hack it at 115. She's fighting a very good 115-er. I can't remember the girl's name, but
she's
good.
Undefeated, though.
Yeah, so not she's sure. Fighting a good 15-er, and it'll be a good test to see how she does.
But Ashley fights the real main event.
Yeah.
Real main event.
Jeremy Johnson, are you going to be there Saturday night? I know that you're doing the commentary for Shamrock FC, so I don't know if you're also going to then drive down to KC, but if you are, let me know. I'm pretty excited just to watch Ashley fight. I think 105 should have been like the weight class. She should have never fought at 115. And every conversation her and I have ever had, it's like, you know, they didn't really know how to cut. They didn't really know what they were doing back then. So now that she kind of has that what I call Jordan Doughty mentality with the nutrition, she said that, you know, last time when she made 108 at a 110 fight, it was like the easiest it ever was. And when I was talking to her today, she said that the weight just like flew off. She even got to drink a little bit of water tonight. I was like, fantastic. That's always a nice thing.
Yeah, wake up easy.
Very easy.
Michael DeSanta says, Jin Yu versus... I'm going to fuck that name up. Janasia Morandan is one to watch, too. I'll be honest with you, Michael.
Miranda's undefeated Brazilian, and the other girl is like... everyone says she's going to be the next big thing at 105, but that Brazilian is undefeated, and so that she's like 9-0, I think, the Miranda girl. So that's going to be a good fight, too. I think that fight is probably the number one contender fight, if I'm honest. And I think Ashley will probably, after Ashley wins, she's probably going to get the winner of that fight. So.
I would imagine. Because Amber Brown, I think she's like 4 or 5 in the world right now at 105. I'm not 100% sure because she didn't win the title. But before that, I think she had only lost. Actually, I don't think she'd lost at all. I'm pretty sure she.
I'm so fucking pumped for that fight. Incredible. I know that, man, but, like, I remember, like, when she fought at Bellator, that was, like, a completely different experience. No offense, Ma, but, like, when you fought, I was like, you know, cool, like, I hope you win, and when JP fights and everyone else fights, I don't know, maybe it's because I live with her,
but,
like...
I cry.
Did you?
Tears. Oh, so when cute. Ashley won at Bellator, I was, like, had tears in my eyes. I was, like...
Everyone was, like, did, even
everyone did, though, because, like, she was crying, and... She was
crying.
I didn't
you
cry.
Know how it is at the gym.
You were crying, bro.
You know how it is cry. At the gym. Ashley's a princess. You know, Ashley's a princess at the gym. She gets what she wants, and every single person in our gym is behind her. She's, you know, multiple times. You know, she was Student of the Year last year. We have an award ceremony every year. They're named after her. So, I mean, we're the Ashley Awards. So, like, you know, we get extremely emotional over her. She is an extremely special person. I mean, saves animals and shit like that, you know. You know, she has a – I can't remember the fallen officer's name, but he's on the –
Blake Snyder.
He's on her banner right now supporting him. So, I mean, there's an opportunity for her to pump up herself, but she's pumping up someone else, you know, and their family instead and so on and so forth. So she's a special person to all of us. So, I mean, I'm – she looks incredible right now. We expect her to win 100%. I mean – She's never looked so good before, so.
I'm excited to see her at 105. This is the weight class she should have always been at. Apparently, that Jin girl is absolutely savage, and so is Miranda, because everyone is talking about them right now. So Craig and Michael and Jeremy, they're all kind of chiming in, and I guess I got more fights than I thought that I was excited for. So Shamrock FC this Friday, Invicta FC this Saturday. It's a nice weekend of fights. Let's do brunch tomorrow, gentlemen. Let's do brunch.
Are you coming up tomorrow? You mean Saturday?
Fuck. Yeah, I meant Saturday. Let's do brunch Saturday.
Yeah, we'll be homeless on Saturday, so, you know.
Really. Oh, really? Only two nights?
Yeah, we're getting kicked out of the crib.
Yeah, we have to leave tomorrow, and we are not going to that ghetto.
Fop is so cheap.
Drew's the one that got the fucking one in the ghetto. That
was my bad.
That was his bad.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on and saving the show, so to speak. I really appreciate it. Anything else you guys want to say before we take you off?
No, thanks to everyone. Support local fighters. Everyone go check out Shamrock FC. Everyone check out Wolves Den Training Center in Wentzville.
I'm just going to leave this here for like...
Everyone, if you have UFC Fight Pass, tune in to Invicto. Watch Ashley Smashley Cummins do her thing. Thanks for having us on. Thanks to the man behind the scenes, and thanks to all the sponsors. So we appreciate it.
Thank you. Got me before I did it. If you have been noticing above me and above the Wolves, there's been a banner kind of rotating in with the sponsors. These are the guys that kind of pay the bills, so to speak. So obviously Head Nod Squad, an apparel company that really gives back not only to fighters, but they give a portion of the proceeds back to the Lymphoma and Leukemia Society. Whenever you can back a company that is also doing cancer research, I think that's a win-win for everybody. But by the way, McKinney and Marlboro, two of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. Very cordial, very, very intelligent, and they really love what they do. And I think that speaks volumes to their product and their company and how many fighters they sponsor, Court Wall being one of them. We also have Brad Carey. If you're in the process of buying or selling a home, call Brad at 314-378-6939. He's with Realty Executives Premier, but the one thing that really surprised me about Brad is his intellect on the financial and all the backdoor things, not just the buying and the selling of a home, but I've had maybe hour-long conversations with him talking about taxes, finances, rates like on a mortgage rate and what goes into like affecting that. And you know, the dude really knows what he's doing, and I feel like whenever you're making a huge decision like buying or selling a home, you want someone that A, is reliable, and B, knows their shit. And trust me, Brad Carey knows his shit. Quote me on that. Put me on the banner. Arian Zekti, Brad Carey knows his shit. Also gamergloves.com. It's my inner nerd coming out. When they originally came to me with the sponsorship, I was like, what? Are you kidding me? I'm a big gamer. I'm a big nerd. I like the things I like. If you use the promo code 2PROSKNOW, you can get 25% off any and all purchases. I personally have a pair, and I use it when I play Halo 5. My girlfriend says I'm a loser. She walks in on me. She sees it. I'm like, whatever. I don't care. So, gentlemen, thank you for joining me. We had Ken and Jesse on. Another awesome episode. Appreciate it, gentlemen. Have a good night.
Yep.
We're going to eat steak.